Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different. We all know that. And Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's not made for Carson Wentz. It's made for you, the viewer. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. This is, again, Locked On Eagles. We post 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on any platform. It could be Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Himalaya. I see us everywhere. I mean, tune in, whatever, wherever you listen, we're up and available on all those platforms. And if you're a desktop podcast listener, you can check them out as well. Every episode on our website, LockedOnEagles.com. Again, this is episode 2 this week. If you missed our recap of the Eagles, pretty disappointing loss, I'd say. That's probably an understatement. On Sunday to the New York Giants, as the Eagles fall to 3-5-1 on the 2020 season. You can check out that episode. Again, it's on any platform. And then we've got another 3 to 4 episodes this week. So be ready. Lots of Eagles content. Maybe that's not what you exactly want right now, considering the state of the team, Gino. But we got you covered, my friend.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, I'm very, very happy after what happened in that Bills game. I think that was ultimately the one thing that got me going after that disappointing Eagles game. But hey, my Ducks are looking good. We're number 11 in the country right now, 2-0. That's looking good.
So the NBA's fun right now. There's a lot of fun trade ideas. James Harden,
yeah, I know.
Maybe to Philly, so...
Yeah, they're just keeping the headlines off of the Eagles, which is
good.
Oh,
and the NHL's doing their fun reverse retro jersey release, so that's kind of fun, too. Although it makes me kind of jealous that the NFL's not doing something like that.
I know. We're in the midst of the Champions League as well, so there's a lot better sporting events you can watch than the Philadelphia Eagles. But fortunately for Lou, and I was going to call you Doug, Lou and myself.
How dare you, sir?
We have to self-scout these games and still continue to watch them week in and week out, and I literally was just doing that before we hopped on, and man, it literally is insane to me, Lou, because the same issues we're seeing on offense and defense are just the same things we've been seeing. And
since we started this podcast, dude.
I feel like the Giants' game plan hasn't changed on offense since the days of Eli Manning, like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just get the ball out quick, get your receivers on an island, get Evan Engram on an island against our linebackers, and rinse and repeat. And man, it's unfortunate, but hey, you gotta tip your cap to Joe Judge's ball team. They were the better coach team. They were the more sound team. They stuck to their assignments, and overall, they outplayed us. So hats off to them.
In every aspect, yeah.
Oh, for sure, and you have to give them the credit, and Patricia Traina was saying it, that she was impressed with this team, and you have to be with their outcomes in so many games, how many close games they were in. They were like that 2016 Eagles team that was right there in all those games within one score, so I was worried about this game. I know you were worried about this game, and it came to fruition.
Yes, it was unfortunately literally,
after a bye week, they just didn't have the energy to go, and it's... You have to, at this point, at least question Doug Peterson, and rightfully so, I think, after what we've seen so far this season in particular.
Yeah, look, I think I know the Eagles are still in first place here at 3-5-1, and but again, for me, and me and you talked about it all week last week, we were hoping, I mean, we were worried about this game, again, because we look at the matchup, and we're honest about who this Eagles team is, but at the same time, I think we were both optimistic, getting all these healthy players back, coming off a bye week, coming off a 2-game win streak, even though they struggled against the Giants and Cowboys. They were, you know, a game away from getting back to pretty much 500 at 4-4-1, and you know, we were still hoping for the playoffs, and I still am to a certain degree, and we were, because we were hoping to, number one, just get Carson Carson Wentz in and get him that playoff experience. And when you have that kind of quarterback, you can be in any game. You saw it this year against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And we were hoping that eventually just stay alive and hope eventually this team figures it out like they did in 2017, 2018, 2019, and hope by the time you do get there, this team is different. Because while the only reason they're going to probably make it or have a chance is because of their division, but we were saying, okay, now take advantage of that opportunity and become a team that's not laughable and still making the postseason. But right now, man, after seeing that game against the Giants and seeing how, again, like you said, the same issues are hurting this team on not just both sides of the ball, but all three phases of this team and special teams as well. You've been a big proponent of this team fixing things on especially the punt return unit. It was a disaster again against the Giants. I mean, the field position was just awful for four quarters. And so you look at the issues personnel-wise on the field on all three phases and the coaching staff and the personnel from what you're getting because of your front office, it's hard to not look big picture now and not revisit it on today's podcast because, again, you're hoping they eventually figure this stuff out, man, but it's not just different issues every week now. It's kind of the same things that keep shooting you in the foot. So it's hard to believe at this point that they're going to fix it, especially when now, if you weren't going to fix it against the Giants or the Cowboys, are you going to fix it against Cleveland this week, Seattle, Arizona, New Orleans, Green Bay? This schedule is brutal where the Eagles might only be favored to win a game maybe once or twice more for the rest of the year. So, it's hard not to think big picture now after that game on Sunday.
I texted you after that game and I said the worst thing you can be in the National Football League and the worst thing you can do is just not have self-awareness. And right now, I fully believe this team just completely lacks that self-awareness. And Chris Collinsworth had a great quote on Sunday Night Football when he talked to Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And he said that both of them said, this many weeks into the season, we know who we are and we play the way that we are, basically. And I don't think the Eagles know who they are. I don't think they know what their identity is. And you can see that. I mean, their special teams unit continues to put them in bad positions, Lou. I've been screaming it from the rooftops that they need to do something at that position. Dave Fittman, he absolutely needs to be evaluated, getting his unit ready to play. Taking a legal block in the back penalties, you just can't be doing that. I'm a firm believer that if you ever get a special teams penalty, you should be instantly cut from the National Football League if you are within your first 2 years, because that is how you make a roster, and special teams is a phase of the game. And we saw what it could do for the Eagles a few years back when they were top in the league because of that. But when you're not in top in the league in defense or offense or special teams, you're not going to succeed, and you're going to be a 3-5-1 football team.
Sure.
And frankly, Lou, what did we say the last episode before that game? If things went right, yeah, we could be talking about competing against Seattle and Cleveland and all these teams. But the worst case scenario, which we also had mentioned, and which basically has been, I would say, 7/10 of this season, we ultimately came out on that end again. And we have to be self-aware and realize that this fork in the road that we are at, they have to be proactive now. And
yep.
I don't know what the answer is. You realistically cannot move on from Carson Wentz because of that contract, and I don't even think that's what you want to do.
Right.
What you have to do is evaluate coordinators 100%. You have to evaluate your head coach, because at this point, how many more position coaches can you change, Lou? Mm-hmm. They've changed all of them besides Ken Flagel, and we know how bad that unit has been. I mean, at what point does
it's time for big picture
break?
Stuff, man. Yeah,
it is. It's something has to change. And
yeah,
I arguably like what they did a couple seasons ago when they fired Chip Kelly and got him out of the building, and they need to do something like that, man, whether it's get Jim Schwartz out of there, whether it's strip Doug Peterson of play calling duties. I just think big picture, and ultimately I'm sure Jeffrey Lurie is having these same conversations with himself and the president of the team and Howie Roseman, and I'm sure these conversations are going on, because right now you're at a time where your salary cap doesn't look so hot moving forward. You have a lot of young players that you just brought in and a lot of veterans that should be on their way out after this season. So it's a turning point. Do you stick with this coaching staff and believe your young group moving forward and maybe a new identity can get it done? Or do you believe you have the personnel, which you and I both have said that we think there's this disconnect between the front office and coaching staff? At what point do one of those two sides give in, and it ultimately is Howie Roseman's job to lose or Doug Peterson's job to lose? And I think that's where we are at currently.
Yeah, we need to start thinking about what changes need to be made to get this team back to a title contender, because while I take more seriously what they did in 2018 and 2019, I take it more seriously what they did there than others. At the same time, there's just been far too much inconsistency since 2017. And look, obviously, the catastrophic amount of injuries over the past three seasons do play a huge role in that, like 100%. It's very hard to be consistent on the field for Carson Wentz or for Doug Peterson as a play caller for Howie Roseman when what you envision this offense looking like, this defense, it never is fully out there. But at the same time, Gino, injuries are not even close to being the only reason for this inconsistency. It goes around on defense, personnel, linebackers, the lack of a true CB2. I mean, all these moves that Howie Roseman has made, Jim Schwartz, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, it's really on everybody. It's not just on injuries. I want you to, here's my take, and I want to hear your thoughts. So I think it's very fair now to start wondering about the three staples of this organization in Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, and much more thinking about Howie and Doug today. We'll talk about Wentz more tomorrow on Wentz Wednesday. And also, like you said, with that contract, with his talent still, they're not moving on from Carson Wentz. But so I do think it's very fair now to wonder, is this the right big three to lead your team moving forward? I think that's a very fair question now to start asking after the last 3 years of inconsistent play on both sides of the ball and having the same issues hurt you feeling week in and week out. However, Gino, I feel like people, at least on Twitter right now, and you know, looking at the media and fans, and I don't know if it's just reactionary because of the state of the team right now, and it's just an emotional response, but I feel like it's easier for some people to just say fire one of, you know, Howie or Doug, or you know, bench slash trade Carson, where I don't know, dude, I struggle even with Howie and Doug more so than Carson. I struggle to just easily say they should fire or move on from one of them or make this drastic move about the three, because I just think it should be a harder discussion when discussing moving on from a former Super Bowl head coach and a GM or a former MVP favorite quarterback when, yes, all three have been inconsistent since 2017, and the question is totally valid to wonder about their futures. But at the same time, I don't know, man, like I struggle with it because I still see those glimpses of, I still see these moments of that 2017 greatness, and they haven't come back nearly enough. But at the same time, like I do consider what they did in 2018 very legitimate, going 5-1 down the stretch and winning a playoff game and being a couple plays away from potentially a back-to-back NFC championship appearance, and maybe you make another Super Bowl. And last year, what they did, I think, is no joke, winning four straight games with those amount of injuries and, you know, being a Carson Wentz cheap shot away, I think, from maybe getting another playoff win. So while yes, the future of Howie, Doug, and Carson should be in question, I just think it's a harder discussion than on Twitter. People just think like it's a foregone conclusion now that a big move like firing Howie or Doug or benching or trading Carson is going to happen. And I don't know. It's tougher for me because it wasn't that long ago that this team was winning a championship. And for the past couple of years, considering the circumstance, they still have been a pretty good football team. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't be questioning them and that right now they are not nearly good enough, but it's a tough discussion, man. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie, I would not want to be him right now making this call because it's difficult.
Absolutely not. I'm right there with you. I mean, the thing about Doug Peterson is you always could rely on his team when their back was against the wall to win a football game, you know, like that was always the one thing. Yeah. And I felt this week, out of everything, that was the most disappointing to me and the most disheartening, because it just didn't even seem like they had just any
motivation,
Yeah.
Coming off a bye week, getting healthy. Yeah. First place. You're right, man. They did not play energized at all. And considering the situation
against a rookie head coach, against a quarterback who arguably is the worst in the division to a degree, but hey, he played a dang good game against you, and that should be a check mark against Jim Schwartz's defense once again. To allow the Giants in back-to-back performances to score 20-plus points is inexcusable in my mind. For Doug Peterson to not have his offense ready to go, to just not bring any innovation. It just was the same thing we've been seeing. Like, I went and turned back on the tape. You're still seeing these 10-yard curl routes where Carson Wentz is going to hit his first read, and they ran that Jalen Reagor orbit motion and never gave Jalen the ball, and it never worked, and they just continued to do things that they thought and successfully did work in the past, and just kind of went back to old habits. Like, when Miles Sanders is averaging 5.7 yards a carry, you only give him the ball 15 times. I mean, I don't get that at all. I don't get that third and one shot call where, Lou, they ran three routes against seven people in coverage, and one of the people running the routes was Richard Rodgers. And you didn't want to just pick up the first down on third and one and just call QB sneak and do that in multiple third and one and fourth and one situations. It just, Doug Peterson is out coaching himself right now, and I really believe that making the decision to get rid of any of those three would be tough. But I think the one thing you can do while still keeping Doug in the mix is taking away his play calling duties.
Yeah, but don't you think, though, you basically have to fire him if you're going to do that? Because you've already...
No, I don't. See, I don't know that. Because look at what he's doing right now, Luke. He's...
Oh, no, I totally agree with you that he should be, like, his play calling duty should be in question. I just wonder, based on, like, how the organization is set up, you've already kind of forced his hand by making him fire Mike Groh and Carson Walsh. And now, you know, with Doug, you know, he's supposed to be running his own coaching staff. And if you tell him now too, that we're going to bring in this new offensive mind and he's going to call plays, I just wonder when the breaking point hits Doug and he just says, like, I'm done with this. You know what I mean? So not that it shouldn't be something up for discussion, but I just wonder if it's basically play calling or bust. You either fire Doug or you keep him as the play caller. I wonder if Doug would accept that.
I would believe that Doug Peterson would do it for the benefit of the team. Like, because just look at it as a whole, not from the play calling perspective, even, Lou. I mean, how many times this year has he made questionable decisions on third and fourth down where maybe if he wasn't calling the plays, mm-hmm. he could have a better 30,000 foot view look at the game. And
oh, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to want to lose those powers, man. I mean,
hey, man, the NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. So you're going to question Carson Wentz and say that he should be benched because he's played bad, and people are going to say we should fire Howie Roseman because he's drafted bad, but we're not able to question and say that Doug should lose his play calling, dude. I think everyone.
Oh, no, you are 100% valid in this question. I just, again, it's different than just benching Wentz or mm-hmm. firing Howie. If you want to keep Doug but strip the play calling, and again, when he runs his own coaching staff, it's just it's very murky, and it's kind of a tricky situation there.
It is. I don't think there's any easy answer, but at the same time. To that degree, Lou, if everybody around you is saying and people believe that maybe it is, even for two quarters, like they did when he was under Andy Reid, where he had somebody else call the second half of the game and that individual was Doug Peterson. Try that with Deuce Staley. Try that with Jeff Stoutland. Let Jeff call a series. Let Press Taylor call a series. It just has to, something has to change, Lou.
I agree.
Right now,
I agree.
We have been stuck at a, you know, in Mario Kart, when you hold down the controller too long at the beginning of the game and you spin your card out, we've done that multiple times and we've already been lapped. So, like, we need to start figuring things out quick so we can at least get some points and get something out of this season, you know? Because if you're still doing the same things and you're still putting a square peg in a round hole, does your talent evaluation take a hit? Does not playing a guy like Kevon Wallace still and getting Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley snaps, does that hinder them and getting Jalen Hurts more involved in the play, like the plays that they called for him? I still think there was meat left on the bone, and there's meat left on the bone for some of these RPOs, and it's to the point where you can't continue to do the same thing. And I think Doug in his press conference said if there is a chance to make an improvement somewhere, I think that they will, and I think that was more of a step in the right direction than he said in any of his prior press conferences. But hey, I'm not going to give him too many gold stars when he's having to make these decisions 10 weeks into the season when you should fully know who your team was, especially since you're in your fifth year of head coaching.
Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season's different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. And guys, we're also sponsored today by DoorDash. It's the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Your friend wants Chinese, your other buddy wants pizza, you want Mexican. No matter what you're craving, there's something for everyone on DoorDash, and ordering is super easy. All you got to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app and select your favorite go-tos, the local ones or the chains. You got the Cheesecake Factory's available. Heck, you can order TGI Fridays or Chipotle, Applebee's, whatever, you name it. It's available on DoorDash. And again, deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and use our promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off at DoorDash. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into segment two of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you. We're getting into big picture stuff now, ladies and gentlemen, because considering that loss against the Giants and the way they lost it, yeah, they're still in first place. The Eagles are at 3-5-1. This team isn't close to the team that we saw in 2017. Gino, they're not close to what was supposed to be a new norm, right? That Doug Peterson said during the Super Bowl parade. You have not seen that team. You've seen them in little glimpses here and there in 2018 and in 2019 and a couple times this year, but not nearly enough to have, you know, at least the big three, Carson Wentz, Howie Roseman, and Doug Peterson. It hasn't been nearly consistent enough, that level of play, to have these guys not be in question right now. And so what is that move? You know, me and you both kind of agree that there needs to be changes this offseason, whether it's firing Jim Schwartz, whether it's shaking up the coaching staff again, whether, you know, Doug Peterson loses play calling duties entirely, or, you know, he's splitting time there, or who knows? I mean, maybe it's just a new general manager. You bring in somebody like a new Joe Douglas, whatever it is, not really sure, but Jeffrey Lurie certainly has some decisions that he's going to have to make this offseason to get this team back to where they were in 2017. And, you know, we went back and forth with what that big move is. And if you ask me, first off, I'm doing whatever it takes to fix Carson Wentz first. Like, that is my priority right now, is to get Carson Wentz back to what we saw in 2017. And heck, last year too. Again, Carson Wentz, for the majority of his career, 90% of the time, has been, I think, a top tier quarterback. So how do I get him back to that level of player? That is my number one priority right now. It's not trying to move on and find a new quarterback. So if you're going to make a big move, to me, Gino, it's all about Carson. And so you got to look at Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson and say, can those two still fix Carson? Can they help Carson get back to who he was? Or do we got to find a new general manager or a new play caller, a new head coach? I'd rank it first, Howie number one, honestly, Doug number two, and Carson three. You can try to fix everybody by maybe like bringing in a new number two for Howie, a Joe Douglas, maybe a new Frank Reich for Doug Peterson. But Gino, I think the point is, though, if Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman are who we think they are, if they are truly Super Bowl winning head coaches and general managers, you know, Jeffrey Lurie shouldn't need to make that kind of move. So I don't know. I think their jobs entirely should be questioned, because if I have to make those kind of moves all the time, it's kind of like with a system quarterback. If my team constantly has to be a Super Bowl caliber roster for him to thrive at all, then to me, I got to find a new quarterback. That's somebody you win with, not win because of. And it's kind of the same thing with your head coach and GM. If I always have to have a Joe Douglas or a Frank Reich to make Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman work, then you got to find somebody else. So I'm hoping that doesn't have to be the case, but right now it's hard to really believe in those two, considering what we're seeing the past couple years.
I would have to agree more with Doug Peterson in that regard than Howie, because I think Howie's adapted the last season and a half in his thinking, which to me is a step in the right direction, because, hey, if he went out and did exactly what he did in the 2019 draft, I think we'd have a different discussion, because I think the 2020 class did a lot of the things that we brought into question. You brought in Jalen Reagor, you brought in John Hightower. But now, once again, why are these guys not being utilized to their extent? And for me, it's the play calling and execution. And this isn't revisionist history for me, Lou. I kept telling you, season after season, after 2018, after 2019, bring in somebody from the college ranks to help out the play design for this offense. Because, frankly, you talk about the idea of a system quarterback. And there are many system quarterbacks that you win with. Carson Wentz is a system quarterback because he has to be in a system that fits his strengths. And I think that's a paradigm that we have to understand. Because when you put your quarterback in a situation that doesn't fit him, you either have to, one, figure out a coach that can do that, or two, completely replace the quarterback. And all the different scenarios we went through, Lou, the easiest option right now is not taking your Ferrari and Carson Wentz that has a popped tire and a broken axle and taking it to the scrapyard. It's buying those parts and figuring out the way that we can fix it and make it as efficient as it was. And to me, I fully believe that right now, Doug and Carson just aren't on the same page. And I love what Doug Peterson does for this coaching staff. I truly do. I truly believe that him bringing in Carson Wentz to be that guy was the move. But I think right now, if things aren't going in the right direction, you at least have to give somebody else who may be even a fraction of a percentage on a better page with Carson Wentz the ability to call some plays. Because I think right now, with still 7 games left to play, Lou, you're not going to do anything in terms of personnel. The trade deadline is passed. You're not going to all of a sudden bench Carson Wentz for an ineffective Jalen Hurts, who you really don't think that they can scheme up a game plan for Carson Wentz, who's been here for 5 years, but they're all of a sudden going to do that for Jalen Hurts. You're out of your mind. You have to just figure out who is the best crew chief right now for Carson Wentz driving your NASCAR car.
Yeah, that's a good analogy for sure. Again, though, with Carson, I'm paying that dude $100 million mm-hmm. plus to not be a system quarterback. I need him right. when things – he needs to elevate. And so yeah. I think Sunday was but a good example, though, of within structure. He yeah. was – the structure is not good enough. You know, if Wentz mm-hmm. is not elevating you, you're not a good team, which is a right. huge knock on Doug. But at the same time, for me, with Wentz, though, there are issues with Wentz this year that go beyond anything mm-hmm. that Doug Peterson or Howie Roseman impact.
But yeah, I think a lot of people have, especially in the press conferences, have asked Doug, like, now that the turnovers weren't there, what's the excuse? And I think that's a great question to ask, because what were we killing Carson with all season long? Putting your defense in a bad spot and losing the field position battles and ultimately being the number one turnover leader in the National Football
League. To be honest, I think he took it too far on Sunday, honestly. And I don't know. I thought he was gun shy a little bit, and that's why Travis Fulgham didn't really get the ball.
Right.
But Gino, that is a huge Carson deciding not to play mm-hmm. hero ball on Sunday showed us that this offense within structure is just not good enough right mm-hmm. now. Right. I mean, and that's a knock on Doug. I mean, we needed more out of Carson, but Carson not doing that kind of showed us what's truly, what this offense really is mm-hmm. without him being that guy we saw in the second half against Baltimore.
Right, yeah. The thing is, your play calling and play execution, ceiling and floor, are the variance is crazy. Like, you look at the Rams, for example, Lou. We talk about all the time, I don't believe that Jared Goff is a quarterback you win many games because of, but he's a quarterback you win with. And frankly, his ceiling and floor is very close together right now, because even when he's not on his game, Sean McVay still is one of the best play designers in the league. Or when Jimmy Garoppolo goes out in San Francisco, they bring in Nick Mullins, and it's seamless that they put their running backs, the most efficient part of their offense, in a position to win. And I think that's something that you look at the Patriots and what they did Sunday night. They know who they are as a team, put the most efficient players in a position to win, and carried out in that manner. At no time on Sunday was the passing offense the most efficient part of that team. I don't think they sprinkled in enough tempo. I still don't think they sprinkled in enough motion. It's just vanilla again, Lou. And here we go. We're literally just having the same vanilla Sunday Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, no pun intended on the Sundays, but every single week we're just getting the same flavor of ice cream saying this isn't exciting at all. And defenses are able to identify your offense, and even the deep game isn't even open. We're not taking shots down the field. Like, we are back to 2018 and 19, but with personnel that should be like 2017. And it to me, that is so much on coaching, and it kills me that we just can't find that balance. And ultimately, that's what it is. We just don't know the balance. We cannot figure out the balance, and it ultimately kills this team every single week.
I want to move on now to Howie Roseman, because I think, look, with Howie, I like Howie. I do, and he's not going anywhere. So while I think he needs to be held accountable as much as anybody right now, considering this the state of this team, Jeffrey Lurie, I think Howie's the safest, to be honest with you. But and look, for me, I love Howie's logic at times of free agency in the draft, and I like that he's adaptable, and each year he changes his philosophy. I loved that this year in the draft he went more for upside and for speed, and I thought he changed up his approach. And so I think Howie is way more self-aware than Doug Peterson, for sure. I would definitely say that. But at the same time, eventually, even if I agree with the moves at the time, the logic of that move, Gino, eventually they have to start working out. You can't just keep saying, well, I know what you were trying there, and the attempt was good. Eventually, the result has to be a positive one. And really, when you look at, you know, free agency, how he kind of built that team in 2017, since the 2017 free agent class, he has been really brutal in that area. And look, there's been great moments. Like, the Darius Slay trade was an incredible move. And I still think the Jalen Reagor pick's going to work out. But for me, there's just been, again, when we talk about inconsistencies and Doug Peterson's play calling and Carson Wentz's game, his mechanics and his week-to-week performance, the same thing has to be talked about here with Howie Roseman and his free agent moves the past couple of years, his drafting. I know the injuries have been a huge part of it, but again, injuries are not the only reason for these guys being inconsistent. His drafting has not been good enough to mask those free agent whiffs in. I'm nervous now because you look at the cap situation they have moving forward. I'm nervous that he's the one running a team now that's going to have to build through drafts. We just need to see, not to say that he's been a terrible drafter. He's had some great, especially late round picks in finding undrafted free agents. He's been great at that. But at the same time, he has missed out on some studs. He missed out on DK Metcalf. And although I like Jalen Reagor still, I mean, Justin Jefferson, I was very wrong about him. He looks like a star in the league. He missed out on Jeremy Chinn this year. And God, the Eagles would love to use Christian Fulton right now instead of Avante Maddox or Nickell Roby-Coleman or your boy Logan Wilson at linebacker. There's just been too many instances of whiffs in free agency and in the draft and, you know, ignoring the linebacker group. And, you know, even like at the time, again, I agreed with the logic of not trading for a DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs. I didn't want to give up a one or a two and a crazy big contract for one of those players. I'd rather draft a Jalen Reagor. But then what you do with those assets that you didn't want to give up for a star receiver, and you use a two on a backup quarterback and use the money on guys like Javon Hargrave, who are not nearly good enough. So to me, it's, you know, for everything you said about Doug Peterson is 100% spot on, but like Howie Roseman too, as much as I like Howie, eventually you got to start hitting on these moves. I like the logic at the time of all of them, even the Javon Hargrave move, but there's just been too many issues with him as GM as well. So I don't think he's going to get fired, but hey, we talk about bringing in a guy as like a new Frank Reich for Doug Peterson. I am very open to the idea of also bringing in another. Not to say Joe Douglas was incredible at his job. They were pretty bad at drafting in 2017 and 2018 as well. But, you know, if you want to bring in another mind next to Howie, I'm kind of cool with that too right now. I think everything is on the table and all of these guys need to be self-evaluated.
Yeah, I think for sure that Jim Schwartz definitely has hindered a couple of the draft picks.
He doesn't get a pass either, by the way. He has his hands on the defensive personnel for 100%.
Yeah, and that's why, to me, like, when I look at
evaluate, but Howie doesn't get a pass though, man. Like Howie does not get a pass for that.
No, see the thing that Dan Hatman taught me with the Scouting Academy, and that I always remember, is that when you are in Howie Roseman's position and you're drafting people, you are evaluating talent. You are not valuing them on the field. Like, I mean, Howie does both because he has to do the contracts. But when you're in the draft, you say, okay, we have this X, Y, and Z need. Where can we get the value? Is he up to the value? You make the selection. But if your coaching staff has a different set of values completely than your front office, something has to give. And, I mean, it's going to be tough to evaluate a guy like Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley and Kevon Wallace if you're not giving them snaps.
Oh, sure,
and,
yeah.
And, yes, you 100%, Lou, like, you do have to blame Howie Roseman to a degree, but in terms of coordinators, since 2016, you've had the same three guys, Lou. I mean, the shelf life for coordinators in the NFL isn't 5-6 seasons. Like, I need a change. I need something big to happen because changing your Joe Douglas, your number two guy, hasn't worked. Changing your coaching staff at the position groups hasn't ultimately worked. Now is time for one of those main four pillars to topple, and you ultimately have to shock the system back to working or you're going to be a lost team. And I don't think this team has is a bad football team in terms of talent wise. They're just playing very bad football. And before you lose the whole ship and before the entire thing goes under, plug those holes and try something different. Maybe sail in a different direction and get your offensive coordinator or somebody else in there that can call plays or somebody else on defense that can draw up some different assignments or something, man. It just what you're doing for the last 2.5 seasons hasn't worked. And I feel bad for our fans that we're not adding a ton of new input, but simply they're just not self-aware enough to make the changes themselves. And it has to change now, and you're not going to win football games if you're inefficient in the NFL. And this team right now is super inefficient in every single phase.
In every way, yeah.
Every way. Picking draft picks, signing guys in free agency, getting your play call on both defense and offense.
The commitment to all these old guys, too, Gino. I mean, the Jason Sticking Peters the move, Band-Aids. The DeSean Jackson move, the Alshon Jeffrey decision. There's just been a lot of that going on, too. So, yeah, it's just every aspect of this organization right now is just not good enough. And it sucks because I thought this team was ahead of the curve in the NFL after 2017. And not to say that we haven't seen glimpses of that still. Again, I do take what they did in 2018 and 2019 very seriously. And so this is a very tough discussion. I'm nervous to move on from any of these guys because we've seen greatness come from them the last 3 years. But again, though, dude, it's not consistent enough now. And it's set to the point where, again, the same issues keep hurting you, so you eventually have to wonder, will these guys be willing to get it right? Will they be willing to adapt and to adjust? And right now, you're not seeing it.
You're not. And frankly, if you don't make a decision after the next stretch against these tough NFC opponents, forget about the Cleveland game. Like, if you go 0-3 against the Saints, Seattle, Arizona, and say you even drop one to the Giants. I mean,
don't forget
Giants,
you got Green
Cowboys
Bay there too on that schedule.
Oh, Green Bay as well. Yeah. If you go 0-4 in that stretch and you just look like absolute garbage against your NFC opponents, how can Jeffrey Lurie, who arguably is the most self-aware individual in this organization, continue to look at this group of individuals who he has in place and say, I am doing wrong by this team? Like, he has to realize that. And I think he did that with the Groh and Walsh situation last year. But hey, man, if taking out a brick doesn't shake the whole house, maybe it's time to knock down a whole freaking wall.
Today's Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Built Go, which comes from the same great people over at Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar out there. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall, whether that's a mental wall or a physical wall. For me, it's both on the overnight radio shift, 10 to 5 a.m. Got to get through that mental and physical grind, and I do it with Built Go. It's 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They got three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit builtgo.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED. And you're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED again for 20% off at builtgo.com. Built Go, let's go. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. We're getting into big picture stuff now. The future of Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson specifically. We'll get deeper into Carson Wentz tomorrow because Carson's not going to get off the hook, but tomorrow's Wentz Wednesday. Wednesday, so me and Gino really wanted to dive into Carson on tomorrow's episode. And the last thing I'll say about, you know, this topic we're discussing today is that, again, it's not an easy discussion because you've seen, I mean, these are three people that are instrumental in you winning your first ever championship and making the playoffs in three straight years, and in 2018 almost getting back to an NFC title game. And so I don't know, when you look back throughout the history of the NFL, I kind of thought about this today before the show, and you look at what past Super Bowl winners have done in times of struggles after their championship win. Like, you look at the New Orleans Saints, for instance, and after they won their championship, remember those years where they kept going 7-9, and but they kind of stayed the course, at least when it comes to Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They didn't make any drastic decision, and they've been one of the best football teams since that point. They really turned things around and kind of had that second wind, that organization, that core. And so, like, that kind of makes me nervous that I want to hope that Doug, Howie, and Carson can figure this out. And even the Giants from 2007 to 2011, they took a few years to get back to that championship form. But at the same time, though, you've brought up this team a lot when talking about the Eagles' roster building philosophy and, you know, their future. But then there's also teams like the Seattle Seahawks who kind of knew when it was over and when to get ahead of the curve and when to change things up around their franchise quarterback. And so I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what the move is. I don't know what the decision is going to be. You've seen the Giants and Saints, you know, stay the course with Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning and Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and they were competing for championships, and the Giants won another one. But at the same time, you've seen a team like Seattle know when to be proactive and when to shake things up. So I don't know what the decision is going to be, but Jeffrey Lurie, he's going to have his hands full for sure this offseason.
100%, man. And not just this offseason, like, if you just continue to lose games, like, say you lose 2-3 more in a row, like, you have to do something now.
Yeah, we both agree that change needs to come. You know, now we're just talking about the weight of that change, you know, how drastic is that change. And I think they're going to have the rest of the season to figure it out, and they have an opportunity if Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz go in and light these great teams up and beat the Seahawks and the Cardinals, and they play well against, like, the Saints and the Packers. Like, there is an opportunity still in 2020 to change our minds, but it's just very hard now. I mean, you last week made that case, but then you do what you did coming off a bye week against the Giants with that kind of opportunity, and you see consistently this team just not getting up for those kind of games. And why would you believe they're going to do it now against, you know, top tier NFC teams? Maybe they do. Maybe it always just takes the end of the year for this team to get going. But right now, you're just not seeing that coming anytime soon. And so, again, the opportunity's there. But if it doesn't happen, if they don't get it done, then yeah, change needs to happen. And me and Gino will continue to get into that big picture stuff. Tomorrow is Wentz Wednesday. So be sure to subscribe to the Lockdown Eagles podcast on any platform. And also make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Birds, at DiBiase LOE. Always talking birds after the show as well. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Lockdown Eagles podcast, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.